Hey y'all, it's Julie Cully with History and Murders in Wichita Falls. Kind of learned my lesson from last week. Y'all don't like spooky, scary, haunted stuff as much as you like murders. I swear, my murder stories get three times the listeners than my hauntings did last week. So, I have definitely learned my lesson. You won't be getting any more haunted stories from me on Halloween. No pictures posted, nothing like that. So I'm just going to stick to murders as long as I have the stories to tell. So this week's story is about a man who kept his dead wife that he killed in his house for 5 days. So let's get started. Some marriages are just doomed, but most marriages end in divorce when a couple finds out that they just can't live together anymore. Oftentimes, a woman will endure abuse because she is afraid to leave a relationship, or she depends on her husband as a source of income, or she just doesn't know what else to do or where to go. This is a story of years of abuse caused by possible mental illness and alcoholism that ended tragically in death. John Hunter and his wife, Elva May, were nomadic people in a sense. They moved from place to place trying to make a living. John was responsible not only for his wife, but also his wife's mother, Dora Adams, and a man she had married, in addition to Elva May's son, Charles Williams, from a previous marriage. The couple married on December 1st, 1941, in Joplin, Missouri. They left Missouri and traveled around, trying to look for work. In July of 1947, they returned to Joplin from Springfield, where they'd been for 2 weeks and were living in a small tourist cabin in Joplin. And prior to that, they lived in Sepulpa, Oklahoma. They both had a pipe dream of opening up a small cafe. On the day of July 10th, 1947, Elva May told authorities her husband was an alcoholic and he'd been drinking all day and had been abusive to her most of the day. Later that afternoon, the couple began fighting and Elva accused him of being drunk. Hunter picked up an ice pick and started stabbing Elva and her mother, Dora. Elva received 4 stab wounds from her husband. Elva had to call a taxi to take her and her mother to the hospital to be treated for their stab wounds. Later, John Hunter was arrested for being drunk, not for stabbing his wife. But she convinced the police to drop the charges, and John went home with Elva May and her mother as if nothing had happened. A few years passed, and Elva May and John Hunter took up residence in Wichita Falls, Texas, without the other family members in tow. They lived on the east side of town at 406 Seymour Street, which is now called Ferris Street. The house they lived in was built mostly with packing crates and was papered inside with cardboard boxes. It had a kitchen, living room, and 1 bedroom. John painted houses for a living. Both Elva May and John spent their spare time drinking. It didn't take long for the Wichita County Sheriff's Office to know the Hunters very well. Over the course of a few years, Sheriff Ham Vance was called by Elva May about 100 times. Mostly the calls were complaints about John mistreating her, but when the deputies would respond to her calls, they would never find any signs of abuse. One time, Sheriff Vance picked up Hunter on the street, and he was too drunk to even know what he was doing. In October of 1953, Elva May went to the police station and reported once again that John was abusing her, and the police went with her to her home and arrested John. The drinking got worse in the Hunter household. Ella May and John drank constantly. John was trying to earn a living as a house painter, but it seems that alcohol continued to get in the way. On January 11, 1954, John received $300 for painting a house in the city. He came home and gave a $100 bill to Elva May for the household. He went back out that day and worked at a local theater doing some painting. And when he got home that afternoon, Elva May was preparing to go out. She didn't tell him where she was going and just left the house. Elva May didn't come home until 6 a.m. the next morning. John thought she was having an affair. She gave no explanation for why she stayed out all night and just went to her room and went to bed. John left for work that day, and when he came home, Elva May was still asleep. He woke her up, and Elva May managed to tell John that the $100 bill that he had given her the day before was gone. She said that someone had stolen her billfold with the money in it. John was furious. He got his 22 rifle, walked into the bedroom, and shot Elva May once in the head. John doesn't remember many details after he shot his wife, but he does remember at some time later, maybe even a couple of days later, he went back into the bedroom and laid his hand on her arm, and she was cold. Then he laid his hand on her face, and it was cold. He saw the hole in her head and knew that she must be dead. So he pulled the covers up over her head and went about his business. After that, all he remembers was leaving the house from time to time to go get liquor, and he remembers going and buying dog food. He slept on the couch in the house with his dead wife in the next room for 5 days. John, in his diminished mental state during the whole time, didn't think about turning himself in. His first and only thought was to call his mother in Chillicothe, Ohio. She would know what to do, wouldn't she? She would comfort him and tell him what he needed to do. Shortly after John killed his wife, he called his mother and he told her that he had just killed his wife. She didn't believe a word he said, so he wrote a letter to her saying, in part, "I have not given myself up yet. I will try to hold on until someone comes." She died drunk, cussing, and called me all sorts of names. "Mother, please send someone. I know I'm crazy. Pray for me." He took the letter to the post office and presented it to Raymond Berry at the window. Hunter asked Berry to address it to Mrs. G. L. Hunter, 315 Knowles in Chillicothe, Ohio, and to send it by airmail. He told Berry that he was too nervous to write it himself. He heard from his mother, but again, she wouldn't believe that John had really killed his wife. He was really hoping for some kind of support from his mother and that she would send one of his brothers to Texas to help him out, but that didn't happen. The guilt of what he had done began wearing him down. So on Sunday, January the 17th, he went to a church where W.W. Givens, courthouse custodian, was attending. Givens, he thought, would know what to do and would help him. In his sick mind, it still didn't occur to him to turn himself in. He couldn't process this in his head. Givens told him he did indeed have to turn himself in. So he walked with him to the county jail, where he surrendered to Deputy Sheriff Sells. It didn't take long for the Wichita County Sheriff's Office to know the Hunters very well. Over the course of a few years, Sheriff Ham Vance was called by Elva May about 100 times. Mostly the calls were complaints about John mistreating her, but when the deputies would respond to her calls, they would never find any signs of abuse. One time, Sheriff Vance picked up Hunter on the street, and he was too drunk to even know what he was doing. In October of 1953, Elva May went to the police station and reported once again that John was abusing her, and the police went with her to her home and arrested John. The drinking got worse in the Hunter household. Elva May and John drank constantly. John was trying to earn a living as a house painter, but it seems that alcohol continued to get in the way. On January 11, 1954, John received $300 for painting a house in the city. He came home and gave a $100 bill to Elva May for the household. He went back out that day and worked at a local theater doing some painting, and when he got home that afternoon, Elva May was preparing to go out. She didn't tell him where she was going and just left the house. Elva May didn't come home until 6 a.m. the next morning. John thought she was having an affair. She gave no explanation for why she stayed out all night and just went to her room and went to bed. John left for work that day, and when he came home, Elva May was still asleep. He woke her up, and Elva May managed to tell John that the $100 bill that he had given her the day before was gone. She said that someone had stolen her billfold with the money in it. John was furious. He got his .22 rifle, walked into the bedroom, and shot Elva May once in the head. John doesn't remember many details after he shot his wife, but he does remember it sometime later, maybe even a couple of days later, he went back into the bedroom and laid his hand on her arm, and she was cold. Then he laid his hand on her face, and it was cold. He saw the hole in her head and knew that she must be dead. So he pulled the covers up over her head and went about his business. After that, all he remembers was leaving the house from time to time to go get liquor, and he remembers going and buying dog food. He slept on the couch in the house with his dead wife in the next room for 5 days. John, in his diminished mental state during the whole time, didn't think about turning himself in. His first and only thought was to call his mother in Chillicothe, Ohio. She would know what to do, wouldn't she? She would comfort him and tell him what he needed to do. Shortly after John killed his wife, he called his mother, and he told her that he had just killed his wife. She didn't believe a word he said, so he wrote a letter to her saying in part, "I have not given myself up yet. I will try to hold on until someone comes." She died drunk, cussing, and called me all sorts of names. "Mother, please send someone. I know I'm crazy. Pray for me." He took the letter to the post office and presented it to Raymond Berry at the window. Hunter asked Berry to address it to Mrs. G. L. Hunter, 315 Knowles in Chillicothe, Ohio, and to send it by airmail. He told Berry that he was too nervous to write it himself. He heard from his mother, but again, she wouldn't believe that John had really killed his wife. He was really hoping for some kind of support from his mother and that she would send one of his brothers to Texas to help him out, but that didn't happen. The guilt of what he had done began wearing him down, so on Sunday, January the 17th, he went to a church where W.W. Givens, courthouse custodian, was attending. Givens, he thought, would know what to do and would help him. In his sick mind, it still didn't occur to him to turn himself in. He couldn't process this in his head. Givens told him he did indeed have to turn himself in. So he walked with him to the county jail, where he surrendered to Deputy Sheriff Sells. At this point, Hunter took officers to his home, where they found Elva May's badly decomposed body lying in the bed and clad in a house robe. Her body was black and blue and was swollen. She was lying straight, and there was a bullet hole above the right eye. They found a Bible under her pillow. Later in the jail, Hunter said, "I'm sorry I done it. I guess no one loved their wife more than I did, but she just wouldn't stay home." He said that something snapped in his head when he shot his wife. During his trial in March of 1954, Hunter told the court, "If I could lay down my life and bring her back and know she'd go to heaven, I'd be glad for someone to lay me..." Stop. Redo. I'd be glad for someone to lay me down right here and chop my head off. That's how much I loved her. Hunter testified he remembered when his wife came home at 6 a.m. the day of the shooting, and the next thing he remembered was when he went into her room and touched her body and she was cold. He didn't even know what day it was. He lost all recollection of the shooting, but he said since he was the only one there, he must have killed her. A deposition was introduced by District Attorney Anderson from Dr. Felix M. Adams, medical superintendent at Eastern State Hospital in Venta, Oklahoma. The deposition basically said that Hunter was insane. But during Hunter's testimony, he said he was admitted to the hospital for his alcoholism and lead poisoning. The jury in the trial of John P. Hunter, who was charged in the murder of his wife, Elva May, only took 1 hour and 54 minutes to determine a verdict. They came back into the court on March 27th and declared that John Hunter was guilty of murder with malice, and they sentenced him to 7 years in prison. John did serve his time at Huntsville, but no record can be found for him after this time. It is not known when or where he died. Well, y'all, that's it for this week's podcast. Next week will be another murder story. I just got to figure out which one it'll be. And that's going to be it. So we will catch you later. Bye-bye. I have written 8 books about Wichita Falls and North Texas. I have 4 in a series called How Did They Die? Murdered in Northern Texas. One is from 1892 to 1926. One is 26 to 74. One is 54 to 2011. And then I have Murdered in the Line of Duty. So it's about officers around Texas who have been killed in the line of duty. I've also written 4 picture books. One is called Views of the Past, Downtown Wichita Falls. One is Views of the Past, Downtown Wichita Falls, Volume 2. One is Views of the Past, Wichita County, Texas. And the last one is called Way Back When, a picture book for kids. Y'all can get any of these books at Pickard's Universe at 10th and Indiana, Heritage Antique Mall at 15th and Lamar, and please shop locally if you live here, or you can order them on Amazon.com. Just type in my name and my books will pop up. Thank y'all.